Faith at Work is produced by the Office of Continuing Education, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, Missouri. Why Lutheran? A course on the Lutheran Confessions continues. This is the third lesson of Dr. Herbert Bowman's course in the Faith at Work cassette series from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, Missouri. The Reverend Carl Schlossleben, the Director of Resident Field Education at Concordia, begins this session with an opening devotion.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When we look back to the period of history in which the Lutheran confessions were born, we see a church and a people in the midst of anguish and strife and controversy. Historians can recount for us the problems and difficulties which were literally battled through. You can name the good guys and the bad guys, depending upon our historical perception and persuasion. Out of this period of turmoil and strife, the grace of God was made perfect in human weakness. God's grace enabled the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of forgiveness for man in sin, to be preached again loudly and clearly. This time of strife is in a real sense a time for celebration among Christians. While that sounds strange and paradoxical, that's the dynamic of Christian experience that Paul wrote about to the Christians at Corinth. He said hardships and times of strife were a blessing for him. For when Paul cried to the Lord in times of his distress, the Lord answered, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul realized that he could not endure alone. He was continually in need of God's grace, and especially in times of his weakness. So he boasted and celebrated his weaknesses, because then he could boast of the power of Christ which strengthened him. We face hardship, strife, and dissension in the depths of our own person, in our family, and in those close relationships, in our church, and in our nation. These are opportunities for God's power to be made perfect in our weakness. These are opportunities for us to give praise to God who gives us his grace and strength sufficient for the problems and difficulties that we face. My Christian friends, lift up your heart to the Lord. His grace is sufficient for you. We pray a colic of Advent. Stir up, O Lord, we beseech thee, thy power, and come and help us with thy great might, that by thy grace whatsoever is hindered by our sins may be speedily accomplished through thy mercy and satisfaction. Who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
What does confessional subscription mean, is the question that Dr. Bowman takes up in this lesson. It will again be helpful to have several copies of the Book of Concord at hand for this study. Dr. Bowman.
Why am I a Lutheran? Because I accept the teachings of the Lutheran Church. The teachings of the Lutheran Church are expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Therefore, to accept the teachings of the Lutheran Church means to subscribe to the Lutheran Confessions. Some people say they will subscribe to the Confessions insofar as they agree with the Scriptures. But that really doesn't mean very much, because I can subscribe to anything with that reservation. So usually we speak of subscription in terms of because they agree with the Scriptures. What really does it mean to subscribe to the Lutheran Confession? Lutherans everywhere are doing it. If you think of all of the great groupings and associations of Lutherans throughout the Church, you find that every one of them, in one way or another, is committed to the Lutheran Confession. Perhaps the largest grouping of Lutherans in the world is the Lutheran World Federation. In its constitution, it is committed to the Scriptures as the Word of God, to the Augsburg Confession, to Luther's Catechism, and to the Ecumenical Creed. Individual Lutheran churches throughout the world, in North and South and Central America, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, everywhere, Australia, Lutheran churches subscribe to the Lutheran Confession. They may not all understand the meaning of their subscription in the same way. Perhaps some of these Lutheran bodies take their subscription more seriously than others, but all do have this in common, that they subscribe in one way or another to the Lutheran Confession. The Constitution of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in its doctrinal paragraph, commits itself to the Scriptures as the inspired Word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and life, and the Lutheran Confessions as contained in the Book of Concord as a correct exposition of the Scriptures. All of the congregations that are members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have constitutions modeled after that of the general body. The constitutions of the individual congregations also have doctrinal paragraphs in which they are committed to the Scriptures and the Lutheran Confessions. When pastors and professors are ordained and installed, they are asked whether they accept the Scriptures as the Word of God and the Lutheran Confessions as a correct exposition of the Word of God. Even some confirmation forms contain the question, do you regard the doctrine of the Lutheran Church as you have learned to know it from Luther's Small Catechism to be the true and correct one? Thus, everywhere where there are Lutherans, we have this combination, the Scriptures and the Confessions. Does this mean that there are two authorities in the Lutheran Church? It would seem so, but not really. The Lutheran Confessions themselves have this to say. We believe, teach, and confess that the prophetic and apostolic writings of the Old and New Testament are the only rule and norm according to which all doctrines and teachers alike must be appraised and judged. Other writings should not be put on a par with Holy Scripture.
every single one of them should be subordinated to the Scriptures and should be received in no other way and no further than as witnesses to the fashion in which the doctrine of the prophets and apostles was preserved in post-apostolic times. But if Scripture is the only source and norm, why have confessions? And why should we be asked to subscribe to confessions?
Before we go on, stop the cassette. Formulate your own answer to Dr. Bowman's question. Also, your worksheets will be helpful in understanding to what exactly the various Lutheran bodies subscribe. Begin your discussion. Now let's hear Professor Bowman's own answer to his question.
Indeed, there have been many people in the history of the Church who are opposed to all formulated creeds. There are many who adopt an attitude of indifference. They say, this question of subscribing to a creed should be completely left open. There are other church bodies that have started with solid confessions of their faith, but in the course of history have adopted an attitude of indifference to them and are no longer bound by them. We are here faced with the sad fact of denominationalism in the Christian Church. There are a very large number of Christian churches. All of them claim commitment to the Bible in one way or another. And since there are so many differences among the churches, we have to ask about how they understand the Bible. This is where a church's confession or creed comes in. It tells how that particular church understands the Bible. And so our confessions serve this purpose for us. Through them, we are saying to the world and to the rest of Christendom, this is how we understand the Bible. This is how we believe the Bible should be understood to do justice to God's revelation in the Bible. So then, by our subscription to the confessions, we are saying that we believe this is the right way to hear what God is saying to us. This is what our Synod's Constitution declares when it states that they accept the Lutheran Confession as a correct exposition of the Scriptures. But does this mean that I agree to every word and every statement in the Book of Concord that was written 400 years ago? Does this mean that there are no mistakes in our confession? Does this mean that we regard our Lutheran confessions as infallible, even though they were formulated by human beings? You know that we cannot make a claim like that. Only God is infallible. And we say His Word is infallible because He speaks to us, and His Word infallibly performs the function for which God has given it to us. As we look at these confessions of the 16th century in the Book of Concord, which we are expected to accept as Lutherans, we may mention a number of things that we cannot and need not accept today. For one thing, there was the political situation. When the Lutherans presented their basic confession, the Augsburg Confession, in the city of Augsburg in Germany in 1530, they made their confession to the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. Princes were the ones who subscribed the confession, and princes were the ones who decided what form of religion should be observed in their territory. They were, in effect, running the affairs of the church.
We cannot ask our president, or our governor, or our state legislature, or our city officials to help us with the problems of our church, as they did in the 16th century. Another thing in the confessions that we cannot and need not accept are a number of cultural factors, like the state of science, scientific knowledge, the knowledge of history, customs and practices of various kinds. They spoke from the knowledge of their day. We have gone considerably beyond that day. We now know many things much better and more exactly than they could know them. Therefore, they made some historical mistakes in their statements in the confession. Another area is the area of language. The kind of language they spoke in the 16th century, quite apart from it being Latin or German, is unintelligible to us today, even in translation. Language that is used never stands still. Words constantly take on new meanings, often words get almost the opposite meaning of that which they once had. Language expresses the way people think. And when people have certain thought patterns that differ from that of another culture and another age, the language is apt to reflect it. Therefore, the way they said things in the 16th century is not necessarily the way we should or could say it today.
Your discussion leader has a number of references which you can examine in the Lutheran Confessions, which illustrate the problem posed by scientific, cultural, linguistic, and historical differences between the time of their writing and today. Do these differences affect the way in which you subscribe to the confessions? Again, stop the cassette. Dr. Bowman goes on to describe what the confessions affirm and deny.
If you remember what the Lutheran confessions are for, as a faith-filled witness to the biblical gospel, and if we judge what they affirm and what they oppose from this point of view, then we begin to see what it means to subscribe to the Lutheran confessions. So we ask, what are the confessions for? Well, they certainly are for the Bible. They say very clearly, as we heard in the quotation before, that the scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the only rule and norm by which all doctrines and teachers alike are to be judged and evaluated, that no other document is to be placed on a par with Scripture. This is an accent that runs throughout the confession, from the beginning to the end. They say, nothing can be laid on men's consciences as binding except that which God himself says in his word. In their commitment to the Scriptures, the Lutheran confessions are for the full gospel. That is to say, as they read the scriptures, they came to the conclusion that what God really and finally and ultimately wants to say to man is what is in the gospel. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God in whose name we were baptized, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man, who suffered and died and rose again in order to redeem all men from all their sins and to rule over all the world in his exaltation
and to concern himself particularly with the welfare of those who trust in him and who will come again one day to take us to be with him forever. The work of the Holy Spirit in creating faith in Jesus Christ in the hearts of men and keeping them in that faith. In other words, what the Lutheran confessions are for is that God and the grace of God are everything and do everything for our welfare. The Lutheran confessions are for a teaching concerning man and his condition that is realistic. While they recognize tremendous gifts of God to men in his mind and in his ability to do things, they confess that man is alienated from God by sin, that he cannot do anything of his own to get back into fellowship with God. God must do it all. What the confessions are for is that Christ has established the church. That Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through the gospel and the sacrament, brings believers in Christ together into the blessed fellowship that we call the church, the assembly of believers where the gospel is preached and the sacraments are administered. What the confessions are for is to look upon holy baptism and the Lord's Supper as precious gifts of God through which he imparts precious heavenly gifts such as the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, and that these are powerful means by which the Holy Spirit creates and preserves and strengthens faith. What the confessions are for is that the faith in Christ by which we receive forgiveness and salvation should manifest itself in the Christian life as a fruit of faith and as a response to the gift of God. In the light of this, it should be easy to answer the other question, what are the Lutheran confessions opposed to? They are opposed to any denial of the one true God, the triune God. They are opposed to any claim that man can get along without God, either in whole or in part. They are opposed to any attempt to abridge or distort the lordship of Jesus Christ. They are opposed to any attempt to empty the sacraments of their value and meaning. They are opposed to any indifference in life, any ungodliness, any pride, selfishness, lack of love for God and for fellow man. Thus, to subscribe to the Lutheran confessions, above all, means to give God all the praise and thanks and glory for every blessing, for our faith and for our life here on earth and for the life that is to come. If you believe that this correctly expresses what God is saying to us in the Bible, then you can subscribe to the Lutheran confession. Then you can make this commitment from the heart. And then you can say, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Now that you have heard Dr. Bowman's remarks about subscription and what it means, take some of the remaining time to evaluate for yourselves exactly how you define confessional subscription. Faith at Work is produced by the Office of Continuing Education, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, Missouri.